right, if you have your Bibles, turn to, we're going to preach out of Joshua chapter 7 tonight. So get to Joshua chapter 7 and hold your place there. And then come over to Romans chapter 7. Joshua 7, Romans chapter 7. We're going to go to a couple of places here tonight. I got to lay some groundwork. And some of you may be thinking, what is this strange new doctrine? So, when it comes to walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, and those types of doctrines there, I've asked a lot of people a lot of questions about it and how it works and listened to a lot of different men, and they all give you scripture and it all makes sense. But you know how it is. Somewhere along the line, it's just got to make sense to you, and you got to say it a certain way, or the Lord's got to give you a word or something. And back in the 90s, there were some verses that would just kind of make me nervous. It didn't really make me nervous. I just didn't know what they were. Here in Romans chapter 7, just to get a running start here, he says here in Romans chapter 7, look down at verse 18. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he says this, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Now in that verse right there, what you see is you see the Apostle Paul, and he's talking, and he says, he mentions something, he says, "In my flesh." In my flesh. So what that means is that is different than your soul. Now we understand that we are a body, soul, and a spirit. Now if you're here tonight and you don't understand how all that stuff works, you can go through the Bible and run the references, and you can see where it's at. We're a body, we're a soul, and we're a spirit. When Rachel was dying back in Genesis chapter 35, when she was dying, the Bible says when she was having Benjamin, it said that her soul was in departing. So as she died, her soul departed from where she's at, all right? And so your soul there departs when you die. So really, the part of you that's really you is your soul. And you have this flesh that's on the outside of you, but that's you on the inside looking out. And according to Luke chapter 16, that soul, when it leaves you, it goes to paradise, which is where the beggar went, or Lazarus went, and the rich man went to hell. So your soul will go to one or two places when you die. So when you go to the funeral home, you'll see this shell and it'll be laying there. But inside that shell, that soul is gone. Went to a funeral the other night and talking to Brother David Byrd's daughter, Hannah, lost her husband. And she was comforted in the fact, she was sitting there telling me, she said, "Brother Jack," she said, "it's been terrible. It's been hard." She said, "but I do have comfort knowing that he's not sitting there in that shell right there. He's in heaven. Right now he's in heaven, and I know he's in heaven and he's with the Lord, and there, that part does bring me comfort." And so the point that I'm making there is that the soul goes to either heaven or it goes to hell. If it's saved, it goes to heaven when you die. If you're lost and you're undone, when you die, your soul goes to hell and you wake up in a lake of fire. As soon as you die, you're either with the Lord or you're with Satan in hell, all right? That's just the way it works. Now, so as Paul makes reference in the New Testament, a lot of times he's going to say you. And when he talks about you, sometimes he's going to be talking about your soul. And sometimes he's going to be talking about your body, your flesh. You say, give me an example. I just gave you one. Romans 7:18. He said this. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Your soul, when you get saved, your soul is saved and it is sealed. God, according to Colossians chapter 2, cuts your soul away from your body. It's cut. It's circumcised, according to Colossians chapter 2. And he puts a seal around it. Nothing can touch it. Nothing. You know what? It's saved. One of these days, the Lord comes back, this body's going to be redeemed. It's not redeemed right now. That's why we're going to die. That's why we get older and when sin gets on us, this body ends up dying. Now, the point that I'm making is nothing bad can get into your soul right now. You say, why? Because it's sealed. So when he says, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing,"
He's making that reference for the point of this. He's talking about your body. He's talking about your body. And when he talks about doing right, he's talking about your body doing right. Now think about this. Why would your soul have to be encouraged to do right? It wouldn't have to be. Why? It's saved. Your soul always wants to do right. Why? Because it's saved. It's redeemed. It's been sealed by the Holy Spirit into the day of redemption. So your soul will always want to do right. So any references in here in the New Testament to you about doing right, acting right, living right, not doing wrong, is always talking about your flesh, talking about your body, which is why Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now, but look what he goes on to say down here. Look in verse, he says this. Look down in verse 22. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. So you got the inward man, and you got my members, which is the flesh, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, his flesh. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am. And who couldn't say that at least one time in their life, right? Since they've been saved. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Why does he call it death? Why does he call it death? All right? So you've got over in the book of Genesis, when Adam took of the fruit, he was told he was going to die, right? Well, he didn't die physically. There was a condemnation that was there, and it was to your body and your soul and your spirit. That's what happened. That's why we're dead in trespasses and sins. That's why we got to be saved. But when we get saved, we're regenerated. Our soul's regenerated. But that flesh is still like it was. It's still in the first Adam. That flesh is just like... Did anything happen to your flesh when you got saved? No. So it's still in Adam, right? Doctrinally speaking, that Adam is still in control. The way Adam was is still what you have in your flesh. You're still in the image of Adam. All right, the fallen image of Adam. All right, look at chapter 8, look at verse 1. Here's what he says. So, well, let's end up in verse 25 in chapter 7. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. What's that condemnation he's talking about? He's talking about the body of that death. Look over at Romans 5. Look at Romans 5. I told you it's going to be a strange new doctrine. It's the same thing we all believe. It's just a different way of saying it. And it's just something that I've noticed. The Lord showed me. And just the way, another way of saying it, it's nothing new. You all, every one of y'all believe this anyway. Look at verse 18. Let's start in verse 16. Romans 5, 16. He says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to what? Condemnation. That's Adam. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's death, or for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. You got that in Adam, all right? You had that condemnation. Go back over to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what that means then is, if you are walking after the Spirit, I mean, if you are walking after the flesh, what happens? You do have condemnation. Amen? Ain't that what it says? Oh, where are you going with it, Brother Jack? What am I agreeing to? Therefore, there is therefore now. Paul's talking about trying to do right. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That means you're saved. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. He's saying, this is why there's no condemnation if you walk after the Spirit, because the law of the Spirit has given you life. Look what he says, verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what's that saying right there? It's saying because the fact that you're saved, you have the ability right now in this flesh To do what? Look what he said. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who? In your flesh. You can walk, you can do right in the flesh today because you have the Spirit of God inside of you. That's what he's saying. Now look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. This is talking about Christians. This ain't lost people. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Look what he says in verse 6. For to be carnally minded, the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, that mind of the flesh. For to be carnally minded is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So what God is saying right there, folks, is this right here. Here's what he's saying. If you're carnally minded, there's condemnation and you're dead. If you're spiritually minded, you're alive. You are alive. Look what he says down in verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Be alive right now. So over in Romans chapter 6, it talks about being alive unto God if you walk after the Spirit. All right? So when God looks at us, this is what he says. He considers us as Christians. Now, if you're lost tonight, don't even listen to what I'm saying. I'm talking to Christians. If you're lost tonight, you're dead in trespasses and sins, and you need to be saved. All right? Now, in Romans chapter 8 right here, he's saying if you walk after the Spirit, you're alive. And if you don't walk after the Spirit and you're carnally minded, you're dead. Look at 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. You say, yeah, but I'm alive, Brother Jack. You are alive. But just like Adam was alive, he was still condemned. He was still dead, right? How old did Adam live to be? 930 years old, right? He lived to be 930. So when he ate that fruit, he died, but he didn't die physically. All right, look here in 1 Timothy chapter 5. He's talking about widows. And he says this in verse 4. He says, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Well, good. That's a good widow right there. But look down in verse 6. Look what happens. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. She's alive, but she's dead. You follow me? You understand what I'm saying here? So when God looks at us, if we're walking in the Spirit, we're alive unto God. Romans chapter 6. We're alive unto God. But if not, God considers us dead. This flesh is in control, and he looks at us, and this flesh is dead. But your flesh can be alive. You say, well, how do you know it ain't talking about the Spirit? The Spirit's saved. It can't be talking about... The Spirit's always alive. I mean, the soul's always alive. It can't be talking about the soul. It's talking about the flesh. The flesh can be alive, or the flesh can be dead. That's what he's talking about. She's dead while she liveth. Now, in the Old Testament, is where it's going to get weird. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon somebody and it would leave somebody, right? Amen. I mean, that's Bible 101 right there. The Spirit came upon Saul and it left Saul, right? Spirit came on David and it stayed on David. Spirit came on Samson, it left Samson, and then it came back on Samson, right? If our flesh... it's still just like Samson's flesh was, because it's still in Adam. Then the Holy Spirit, when you get filled with the Spirit of God, you know what happens to your flesh? It comes alive. It's alive. That's what God says. And sometimes when you're not walking in the Spirit, you're dead. Not physically, you didn't lose your salvation. We're talking about the flesh. There's an opportunity for your flesh to fulfill the righteousness of the law. If what? If you walk in the Spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 37, the valley of dry bones, right? What happened? He said, he asked Ezekiel, he says, can these bones live? He said, thou knowest, Lord. And he says, here's what happens. It says, prophesying to the wind. The wind comes on them, and what happens? They come alive. You know what happens when the Holy Spirit comes inside of it? It comes alive. And when the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, You're already sealed by the Holy Ghost. You've already got the Holy Ghost inside you. So what is he feeling? He's feeling the flesh. And when he feels the flesh, just like Ezekiel chapter 37, that flesh comes alive. Now, I've got all kinds of other stuff I could go with that and talk to you all night. That's not the message. Here's what I want you to understand tonight before I get started. Some of you all sitting here right now tonight are looking at me, and you're dead. You're dead. That flesh is in control, and you have no desire for God, for the things of God. You can't be moved. You can't be excited. You can't be anything about God. There was a time in your life where you were excited about God. You were excited about the things of God. You were sitting there and you were like, your prayers were, God, what do you want me to do with my life? I'll do anything you want me to do. You would read the Bible looking for the will of God in your life. You would be reading, God, do you want me to go to Africa? God, do you want me to go to Alaska? God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Wherever you tell me to go, God, I'll go. And that's all you thought about was the will of God. The songs would be sang and you'd get excited about the Lord. You'd get excited about what Jesus Christ did for you. Why? Because you're filled with the Spirit. You were excited about the things of God. Your flesh was sitting there and you had it controlled. You had complete surrender to the will of God. God had control of you, was wanting to witness. You couldn't walk by somebody without giving them a track. And now you walk by them and you don't even think about them dying and going to hell. You say, what happened? To be carnally minded is death. You're dead. And you're sitting here tonight and you've not been to the altar in months or years. You can't be moved. The singing don't move you. You come to church because you're supposed to come to church, and you just come to church, and everything you think about, everything that you pray about, it's all about you. It's about getting better. It's about having your problems go away, or getting money, or having to be able to pay this bill, or do this, or fix this in my life, God. Do this in my life, God. Fix this in my life. And there's nothing spiritual. There's nothing in... And there's no prayers about, God, fix me, or what Sister Juanita was singing about creating me a clean heart, oh God. Fix me, Lord. None of that stuff. It's all about me. It's all about me, and I'm sensitive, and I'm frustrated, and I'm mad at people, and I get frustrated with people. Why? Because you're dead. You ain't lost your soul. You ain't lost your salvation. But this flesh has got control, and you're dead. As far as God's concerned, and He's looking at you right now, there's no life in that flesh. But he says, be filled with the Spirit. If you get filled with the Spirit, then once you get filled with the Spirit, then what happens? You come alive, according to the Word of God. You come alive. You know what Samson needed? He sat there and he whipped 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. And then he said, God, am I going to die? And he clave a hollow spot out of that jawbone right there, and he had some water, which is a picture of the Word of God. And the Bible says he got what? He got revived. We sing that song, Revive Us Again. We sung a while ago, I am resolved. Are you? Are you resolved? Are you fired up? Are you excited about the things of God? Do you want to do what God's... Are you thinking about what God's called you to do? Are you wanting to get closer to the Lord? Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Are you willing to teach? Are you willing to sing? Are you willing to witness? Are you willing to do whatever He wants you to do? No, Brother Jack, then you're dead. You say, well, Brother Jack, you're judging me. No, you judge yourself. You tell me. I don't know. You say, Brother Jack, you talk like you're talking from experience. Yes. Yes. There's been times in my life where I didn't move from the singing of the Word of God, or the singing when people would sing. From the preaching, I've been sitting there at times. I've been sitting in that pew right there and listening to a message and thinking, man, what is he talking about? What is he preaching about? What is going on? I can't even hardly follow this. What time is it? What show's coming on? What game's on? And not even caring anything about the message, just wanting it to be over. And the altar call comes, and 20 people come to the altar, and I think, what did I just miss? You say, what was wrong? I was dead. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And when this flesh gets control, I die. And when I get filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what I begin to think about? I begin to think about young people. What are they going to do with their life? I begin to think about different people in the church. This person ain't been here in a while. Maybe I should call this person. I wonder what's wrong with this person. I heard this person's having a problem. Maybe I can call for them. Maybe I can pray for this person. I start thinking about other people. And if you're sitting here tonight and all you're thinking about your life and your career and what's going on in your life, you're dead. You are dead. And you need
to be revived. What happened? What happened in your life? What happened? You ever just, you know, I talk to people and they'll you get talking about weight sometimes. You say, how much you weigh? I weigh 185 pounds. I weigh 180 pounds. And you're like, really? And you get on the scale and it says 210. You say, what happened? What do you mean what happened, Hoss? You ate too much. You say, what is that? It's called consequences. That's what happens. That's the way it works. And it works the same way with God. If you don't put in the Word of God in you, and you don't pray, and you don't come to church, and you don't put the right music in yourself, you know what happens? You die. It's called consequences. Go to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. Something's happened. I want to preach tonight on getting past your hindrance. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, you did run well. What did hinder you? What messed you up? What stopped you? What killed you? Getting past your hindrance is what I'll preach about tonight. Going to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. Brother Ben, would you pray for us? Amen. I'm not talking about tragedies. Tragedies will mess you up. I'm not talking about trials. I'm not talking about persecution. I'm not talking about Satan's fiery darts. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about gaining some ground. I'm talking about winning some victories. I'm talking about abounding. If you've not been doing that, then you've been hindered. Something's messed you up. Something's got you stopped. Something's got you to the spot to where you're comfortable with where you are in life. You're comfortable where you are with your spiritual life. Some people are looking for more things to do for God, and some people are looking for how to get out of doing things for God because they want to spend more time doing other things. In Joshua chapter 7, look what it says here in verse 1. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibrim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So you know the story there. They come out of the battle of Jericho, and God's promised them the promised land. He's talked to Joshua. You got all this stuff going on, and then they end up in a mess right here in Joshua chapter 7. And 36 men die. 36 men. 36 wives, husbands didn't come home. Kids, daddy didn't come home from that battle. Why? Because there was a problem. That's why. When you think about this, what happened up to this point right here? The first six chapters of Joshua, what happened? First of all, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, he says, be strong and of a good courage. God's talking to Joshua, and Joshua's excited about the Lord. He's excited about going into the promised land. He can remember 40 years before that when he went over there, and he come back. He's been thinking about it for 40 years. Now God's called him to do it. Moses is gone. He's getting ready to get in the middle of this thing. He's getting ready to go to it. And God's saying, you need to be strong. You need to be courageous. You need to be ready to go take the land. In chapter 2, he sends some people over there, and they come back, and there's this report saying, look, man, God's dropped this thing in our laps, Joshua. man, this is going to be easy pickings. This thing is great. This thing's going to work good. You know what he's doing? He's seeing victories in his life. Everything's working out. He's excited about the Lord. You get to Joshua chapter 3 down in verse 7. He says, you know what I'm going to do to you, Joshua? I'm going to magnify you in the hearts of this people right here. I'm going to make you look big. I'm going to make you look like Moses. I'm going to bring you into favor with these people. And Joshua's sitting here thinking, man, I was worried if they were going to follow me or not. I was kind of wondering how this thing's going to work out. God said, I'm going to magnify you, Joshua. That relationship with him and God's good. He's getting stuff from the Word of God. He's sending him out there. He's ready to do something for the Lord. You get to chapter 4 right there, and he begins to get magnified. In chapter 4, verse 14. Chapter 5, verse 14, he sees Jesus Christ. You know what? He's fired up about this battle. He's excited about doing something for God. He's on his knees. He's out there in the battle. He's up there in the middle of this thing. He's sitting here thinking, man, this is where we're going to go. This is where we're going to have a battle. I want to see those walls. I want to see what's going on. God, what do you got us getting here? What are we going to do here? And he runs into the Lord. And he sits there and he looks at the Lord. And the Lord, they have this conversation going on. And Joshua's ready to fight the Lord because he didn't recognize who he was. Then God says, listen, I'm not on either side, Joshua. I'm the one in charge right here. And he realizes who it is. He gets down on his face and he says, what saith my Lord unto his servant? That shows his surrender. He's excited about serving God. He just wants to do what God wants him to do. You want me to hand out a tract, God? I'll hand out a tract. You want me to go to church? I'll go to church, God. You want me to talk to somebody? I will. You want me to teach this class? I will. You want me to sing? I will. I don't care what it is, Lord. Just give me something to do. What saith my Lord unto his servant? What a place to be in your Christian life. What a place to be where you're sitting here and all you can think about is what God wants me to do. I ain't worried about what people are saying. I ain't worried about who said something to me or didn't say something to me or shook my hand or they're glad to see me or they're not glad to see me. Who cares? I just want to do something for the Lord. And you ain't even paying attention to those things. You know what that is? That's surrender. That's where he got to. And he goes into Jericho. He goes into Jericho and he gets the plans from the Lord and he goes in and it's a great victory. And he gets that victory and you go all the way through chapter 6. Look down in the last verse of that chapter. Chapter 6, verse 27. What's it say? So the Lord was with Joshua and his fame was noised throughout all the country. It couldn't be no better. You talk about great. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where you've ever been. I don't know if you've ever done something for the Lord. I don't know how everybody in here works. Here's what I do. Man, I'll hear somebody preach, and they'll talk about somebody like Sam Jones, a big drunk down there that got saved, and his life changed, and he started doing something for the Lord. He started preaching for the Lord. I mean, you got down there right now, the Grand Ole Opry, that building that they're in the Grand Ole Opry, you know who that was built for? It was built for Sam Jones, a Methodist preacher who would preach to hide off people, and man, they would shut beer joints down. You wouldn't hear people cussing in the streets. You say, what'd that do for you, Brother Jack? I'd get fired up. I'd get excited. I'd be wanting to do something for us. I want to be the next Sam Jones. I'd hear stories about Sam Jones. I'd hear stories about Jim Elliot going to the Aka Indians and going down there, man, and just giving up his life. Why? To get people saved, seeing stuff like that. I can remember my wife reading books from about Susanna Wesley, raised 17 kids, probably raised the two best preachers in during that time. Charles Wesley and John Wesley, both of them high-tearing preachers. That's the stuff that I like. That's the stuff that I got excited about. So what is that? That's where Joshua's at in Joshua chapter 6, verse 27, man. You say, what is that? That's called fellowship. There's nothing between you and the Lord. You're fired up. You're at the altar every time. Man, you're confessing sins you ain't even doing. Because why? Because I just want to be close to the Lord. I just want to do right. I want to do something for the Lord. I want to give it to Him. And I want to, when this thing's over, I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You ever been there? Are you there tonight? Are you? Or are you dead? You say, what is it? That's where Joshua was at. And then Joshua chapter 7 shows up. What happens in Joshua chapter 7? Falls apart. How did it fall apart? Verse 1, look at verse 1. They got corrupted. You corrupted tonight? You got something in your life that you shouldn't have? I ain't talking about sin. I'm talking about, what I'm talking about is something that you got in your life that God wants you to get rid of. You know what started happening to me when I first got in church? I got saved when I was young. Got in church here, started getting in church here, just wanted to do right. I started hearing stuff about preaching on the street. Preaching on the street? Ain't no way I'm going to preach on the street. Ain't no way. I ain't preaching on the street. I remember the Ray Howard and Gary Boyd and Brother Dilbert in school and preaching on it. Ain't no way Jack Butts is getting out on the street. No way. So what happened? I got out on the street. You say, why? Because God wants me to grow a little bit. He said, I want you to grow a little bit. I want you to preach. Preach! I want you to preach. I remember turning into work about 2 months before Sarah's born, going to work. It's about September, October of 1993. Tore to pieces. And I remember my brother-in-law, Patrick Burgess, with me. And he looks at me and I am bawling. He goes, what is wrong with you? What is your problem? I said, I just think the Lord wants me to do something. And he looked at me and he said, you need to just preach. Never talked to him about it. You say, what'd you do? I started preaching. Gary Boyd said, he called Preach Jack, preach. I started preaching in nursing homes, started preaching on the radio. Preach. You say, why? You say, what happened? It's called growing. It's called getting things out of your life. Quit watching TV. I mean, I grew up on TV. All my references to TV will be 80s shows. I've never watched an episode of Seinfeld. That's the 90s. Never watched a show of Friends. That's the 90s. Quit listening to country music. Quit listening to rock music. Quit doing all that stuff. You say, what was you doing? God was wanting to get some things out of my life. And when He did, you say, it's funny. It's like there's so much stuff that's wrong with me now. But you know what? God said, but that one's the one I want right now. And you get it out. And He says, now that's the one I want right now. Now I want this one. And I want, you say, yeah, but what about all that other stuff? I don't know how it works, but I know this. God's okay with that until He gets this. God had got an order. And He's like, you'll go better if you get this out of your life, then get this out of your life, then get this out of your life, get this out of your life. And you know what happens? You know how you die? You know how you get corrupted? Is you start listening to that music again. And then you start watching a couple TV shows again. And they start cussing and you just kind of let it go. You say, what is that? It's called corruption. They went in the Battle of Jericho and you know what they said? God said, it's all mine. Don't take anything. Achan couldn't help himself. Achan took it. Took the accursed thing. There was sin in the camp and Joshua didn't know it. And there in verse 1, the first thing that happened there, what happened there in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, is they had sin in the camp. They had sin in the camp and they wouldn't get it out. You know what you got to do? You got to get it out. You know what God wants you? If you've been on the same even keel and you ain't getting nothing out of your life in the last 5 years, God ain't sticking His finger on your chest and saying, get rid of this, get rid of that, do this, do that, then you're dead. You're dead. Dead. D-R-T. Dead right there. That's where you're dead. You say, what is that? That is somebody that just like Achan won't get no sin out of the camp. You know, he may be wanting to drop some cigarettes. You say, Brother Jack, I'm just telling you, God, listen, I used to chew 2 packs of Red Man a day. And the Lord said, get rid of it. And I'd get rid of it. Then I'd go eat lunch. Oh, right after lunch, I'd buy another pack of tobacco. And I'd chew it for a little while, and the Holy Spirit would be on me, and I'd spit it out, and I'd throw it up. I spent so much money on tobacco one day after another, until I finally quit. There's people that's quit stuff, and this went on. I couldn't. It was a fight. Maybe God's wanting you to get something out of your life. Maybe it's cussing. Maybe it's TV. Maybe it's music. I don't know what you're doing, but I know this. There's something in your life that's messing you up and you won't get rid of it. You know what's going to happen? It's going to kill you. It's going to kill you. Not physically. Not physically like these 36 men right here. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Second thing is what? Look at verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. What's missing right there? I mean, you think about Jericho and how good it was with Jericho. Where was he at? He was right there with the Lord, remember? He was right there with God. He's like, God, we're going to go up and we're going to get this. And God said, here's what I want you to do, Joshua. We're going to lay it out like this right here. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. God ain't there. He ain't nowhere. Where is he? He ain't there. It says, and Joshua sent men. Did the Lord send men? No, Joshua did. You know what that is? First verse is you get corrupted. The second one, you get comfortable. You lost your dependency upon God. He quit praying. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? What are you praying about? Are you praying that people that you can win souls? Are you praying that you can read your Bible good and God will give you something to you when you read your Bible? Well, I ain't reading my Bible, Brother Jack. You're getting comfortable. You know what happens? You get in church and you get rolling down the road and things are working good and everything's working the way it should be and you just get comfortable and you quit depending upon God. Because why? Because it's all working anyway and you've learned out, you know how this thing works. You come in, you sing, you sit down, you listen, you go to the altar if you have to, and you go to the house. There's no praying, there's no reading, there's none of that stuff. Young people, listen to me. You'll make some big mistakes in your life if you start getting comfortable with God. And you quit counting on the Lord. And you quit praying. That preacher got up here last Wednesday night and said, you know what? Though everybody in church were trying to get me hooked up with this girl, and I thank God. What if he hadn't been praying? What if he hadn't been close to the Lord? You know what you got to do? You got to get right. And when you get right and you stay right, you get comfortable, you let the preaching go. And church ain't as important to you as it used to be. You don't care to watch a few movies that may be a few cuss words or a couple of scenes that, it shows some things that you don't really want your kids to say, or you scream out loud when there's a cuss word because you don't want your kids to hear it, but you let it go. Why? Why are you there? Because you ain't filled with the Spirit. You're not alive. You know what happens? You get comfortable, just like Joshua did. Joshua wasn't there with the Lord. He wasn't asking God how to do this. Lord, I got this. And then you know what happens? You make a mess of your life. You get in a mess. That's where problems begin to come in. Verse 3. It says, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And look what he says. And make not all the people to labor thither. What's he saying right there? He's saying, a little complacent. We ain't got to have everybody. They ain't got to have all of us at church tonight. We ain't got to do it all. We ain't got to read the Bible every day. We ain't got to do it all the time. You know what started happening? They started cutting corners. They looked at this thing and they thought, you know what the Lord says when they go to battle? It's over 30,000 men go. They're saying 2,000 or 3,000. We'll win this thing with 2,000 or 3,000. We don't need the Lord. We get complacent. I'll get ready and get up and sing, and I'm not going to practice. I'm not going to pray that I'll be a blessing to people. I just need to sing anyway. The purpose of singing is to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ and for people to get a blessing to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're just in the flesh, God ain't getting no glory. God don't get no glory out of that stuff. We come in here and we sing 3 songs. Do you think about the words? I'm resolved. I'm resolved no longer to linger. Are you resolved tonight? We just sat there and sang about it. Just sat there and sing about it. Number one, it gets corrupted. If you don't get sin out of your life, it's going to cause some problems. Number one, it gets you comfortable. And then it gets you complacent in verse 3. In verse 4 and 5, look what it says. So there went up thither the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. Verse 5, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Became as water. You know what happened? 36 men died. You know what happens to you? That flesh gets control. You know what God, as far as God's considered you, looking at you as a Christian? You're dead. You're dead. When God looks at you, He's looking at you. Romans 6, you're either alive unto God or you're dead unto God. Not lost. Ain't talking about being lost tonight. I hope that's got across to you tonight. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about people that you used to have a desire. And the fact that you don't even have a desire right now don't even bother you. Don't even bother you that you don't even have a desire. You ain't witnessed in months. You ain't read your Bible like you should be reading your Bible consistently. You ain't prayed. You ain't grabbed your wife by the hand and sat down and said, "Listen, let's pray, honey." I mean a real prayer. When's the last time you got down with your spouse and said, "We need to pray. We need to get right." Kids, you know, I was talking to a guy the other day, an adult man. He was talking about to his brother and going through something. You know what they said? He said, "We prayed with each other over the phone." Can you pray with your siblings? Oh, that's just so weird. Well, you can argue with them, can't you? That's pretty natural. You ought to be able to pray with them. You pray for your parents? You got a good relationship with your parents? You say, "What? That's called Christianity." And if you ain't got that, you got fightings going on amongst this husband and wife. What is that? That's carnality. To be carnally minded is death. There's some things that you've got to get right. And you know what happens sometimes? The best thing in the world for you to do is have a preacher come and tell you, remember what Nathan told David? "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." That's the hardest thing in the world for a preacher to do. You say, "Why?" "Because I've got as much problems as you do. I've got as much problems in my mind as you do. I got as much problem with gossiping as you do." You know what God may be telling some of you? Get off social media. Look at Acts chapter 19. We'll be finished. Acts chapter 19. You know, I can remember growing up in the 80s and people, you know, a bunch of teenagers getting right with the Lord and or even adults getting right with the Lord. And I remember going and having a big record burning. Kids, I know you don't even know what a record is. It ain't somebody beating your record on some video game. I'm talking about records that look like a little flat disc. You put a needle on it and it plays music. Rock music. Stuff like that. You know what happened to a lot of them? People get saved. They'd get in church. You know what they did? They'd burn their records. You say, "Why?" Because they was getting rid of some stuff. God was wanting them to get rid of some stuff. Then when it got there late in the 80s, you know what you started doing? They started burning cassette tapes. You don't know what that is either. Cassette tapes, CDs. You may know what CDs are. 8-track tapes. What's an 8-track tape? Man, y'all don't even know. Burning, just burning it. You know what God wants some of you to do? Burn social media. You sit there and you get distracted and you flip through that thing and you're commenting on stuff that you don't have no business commenting on. You say, "Yeah, but it ain't even bad." Who cares? Nobody cares about your opinion unless it agrees with what they said. Then they're like, "Oh, so-and-so said they agree with me." They're mad at you yesterday because you didn't agree with them. Who cares? Why do you think you have to comment? Why? Why do you think your opinion matters? Why would you comment on something? Because it makes you feel good. "Oh, this is what I said." Who cares? Who cares what I said? Who cares what you said? Nobody cares. And we waste our time. You know what God's saying to some people? Burn it. Get rid of social media. Get rid of your video games. Get rid of anything that's costing you time with the Lord. Whether it's bad music, whether it's bad movies, or whatever it is. Chunk it. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Look at verse 17. It says, "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." Verse 18. "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." Some of them, they came and got right with the Lord. They got saved. Then look what happened to them in verse 19. "Many of them also which used curious arts," that's Satan worshipers, "brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found 50,000 pieces of silver." 50,000 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money. Cut your losses. "Yeah, but I've paid for this right." Cut your losses. Burn it. Drop it. Get it out of your life. When's the last time God put His finger on something on you and you said, "You know what, Lord, I'm dropping it at the altar. It's yours. I'm no more. I'm done with it." I'm giving it up. There's my cigarettes. There's my chewing tobacco. There's my alcohol. There's my whatever it is. There's my drugs. There's my movies. There's my video games. People literally stay up hours and hours at night, grown men playing video games, and have no relationship with their kids. Why? Because they're playing video games. You say, what? It's time to get that stuff out of the camp. You say, why? Because you want to live. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to get rid of some stuff. I lied. Look at Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. I know a lot of people go to this prodigal son verse right here. Talk about getting saved. I think it's different though. I think he's already saved. He's already got a father. And when he comes back and he gets right, look at verse 21. It says, "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called as thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." Look what he says. "For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." You know what the Lord would like to see tonight? He'd like to see a bunch of dead Christians leave the hog pen, come to this altar and say, "Lord, I'm leaving it at the altar. God, I need to get right with you tonight. God, I'm so far away from you right now, and It don't even bother me that I'm away. I need you tonight. I'm no more worthy to be called a son." You know what he's going to do? He's going to say, "Let's make merry tonight." Let's all stand. I wouldn't even wait for the music to start. Are you dead tonight? Are you carnally minded? Where are you with the Lord? You willing to do what God... Are you willing to quit everything right now and go to Alaska? Are you willing to put it on the altar? Are you willing to do what God... Anything God wants you to do tonight, are you willing? Because if you're not, you're not surrendered. You're not surrendered and you're holding on to something. And when you hold on to something in your life, like Achan did, that sin in the camp, it's going to cause death. It's going to cause death. To be carnally minded is death.